Perhaps the people who frequent historic archives the most are those who are pursuing their family ancestry or family tree. This is the study of genealogy and becomes a most time-consuming and involving hobby. There are several in the congregation that are involved in such research. It seems like we need to know the roots from which we came. This can be both good and bad. It's according to who these ancestors were and what happened in their lives. To find out that great-great-great-grandfather was a common thief does little to enhance one's ego. Whereas to find out that he was a war hero enhances the ego. Family lineage can play an important role in life, for it can help determine who we are while also helping to determine our genes, which can play into health issues. Through the study of genealogy, we are reminded of the importance that family lineage plays, especially in determining royalty and or class standings throughout history. This is certainly the case with the Hebrews and their lineage, which traces back to Abraham. During this lineage came the branch of the house of Jesse, which evolved into the royal branch of the Hebrew people. David, the most revered king of Israel, was the son of Jesse, and it was through him that the lineage of the kings of Israel followed. During the time of the demise of the Hebrew kingdoms, the prophet Isaiah prophesied that a new ruler would eventually arise out of the lineage of Jesse. A new branch would sprout out of the seemingly dead stump and roots of the royal tree of David. For Isaiah prophesied, "A shoot shall come forth from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, and the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord." This would be a kind of new kind of ruler. Man's standards of hatred and divisiveness would cease to be, and the world would be seen out of the eyes of righteousness. For he said, "He shall not judge by what he sees, or decide by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide the equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips, he shall kill the wicked." This new ruler would establish a world of harmony, not the one which continued to exist. To give the illustration of this drastic new kingdom, Isaiah stated, "The wolf shall live with the lamb. The leper shall lie down with the kid. The calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them." Now Paul saw this to be the prophecy of the Messiah, who would lead the chosen people to a new kingdom. This ruler would be Jesus, as Paul saw, who would see no distinction between Jew and Gentile, a world ruled by love and forgiveness. All people of God's new kingdom were equal in God's eyes as his children. No longer Jew and Gentile. Paul proclaims this to the Romans. Welcome one another, therefore, just as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the circumcised on the behalf of the truth of God, in order that he might confirm the promises to patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles glorify God for his mercy. Isaiah's prophecy is the message of the Advent hymn which we just sung. O come, Emmanuel. The seventh verse brings this to light. For the hymn writer states, O come, O King of nations, come. O cornerstone that binds in one, refresh the hearts that long for you. Restore the broken, make us new. This is what Jesus lived, and this is what he taught. The hymn writer goes on to say that this new ruler of Isaiah would prophesy that set the way for us to be free from the rule of evil. For he stated, for thine own from Satan's tyranny. Free thine own from Satan's tyranny. This goes well beyond political tyranny, but breaks the hold that Satan has over us, which leads to acts of evil. The new Messiah would help us to see the good of life and free us from the bonds of hatred, bitterness, divisiveness, sin, and evil, which always seem to be a reality in life. It is the Messiah whose victory is seen overcoming the evil of Satan, which is the continual inner conflict between good and evil. To succumb to evil leads to the soul's ultimate damnation. The Messiah would give the alternative, for he would be the ultimate salvation of our souls. The salvation of being able to live in the eternal glory of God's love. The Messiah would conquer death, for he would bring about the resurrection of life, lifting us out of the grasp of eternal death. This Messiah would be able to proclaim, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. This is why we sing during Advent. From death, depths of hell, thy people save and give them victory over the grave. This is why we prepare our lives to receive the Messiah anew every year in our lives. Out of a world of darkness and gloom, of evil and despair, of inequity and justice, of hate and war, of revenge and bitterness, of divisiveness and distrust, come the dawn of a new day, the day spring which shatters the darkness of night. The Messiah, who brings a new covenant with God, is this day spring which shatters the world and the various undertakings of mankind, which only create more and more darkness and suffering. One doesn't have to look far to see such darkness today. Look at the injustices. Look at the suffering which mankind initiated throughout history and throughout the day. There is no time during which this is not true. Even in our advanced society, nature of mankind is still creating darkness and despair through blatant greed. The support of such greed feeds off the loss and suffering of others. The divisiveness of the day, which keeps separating our society, causes increasingly bitterness and even hatred. The dark world of greed is still surrounding us as we await the justice of dayspring to shatter the darkness. The results are all too alarming and tragic, in that people throughout the world suffer needlessly from malnutrition and other poverty-related issues. And this we speak to during this season with the Advent tree. This dayspring, which shatters the evil darkness of mankind, is found in the nativity for which we prepare. For it was Jesus who established, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." This dayspring is the light of life. It is the revelation of God's great love for his children. So great is this love that upon repentance, even those who have been in the darkest of all activities will be forgiven. They will then walk in the light of God's love and exemplify this love in their lives. We are told by Jesus that once you and I receive and accept the light of God's love, then this light shines forth from us. For Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." You and I then become the dayspring which shatters the darkness of man's creation. With God's love instilled within us through the Nativity, we cannot hide the light which has been given to us. Christmas is all about rekindling this light in our lives. It is the light of this dayspring, the Messiah, the light of the world, Jesus, that we prepare to receive anew this Christmas. Let the words of the hymn resound in our everyday lives. O come, thou dayspring, come and cheer our spirits by thine advent here. Disperse the gloomy clouds of night, and death's dark shadows put to flight. And it is then that we can enthusiastically sing also, "Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel, shall come to thee, O children of God." Rejoice, rejoice. That is the season we prepare for. That is our lives. Amen.